Well, part two. Everyone's still here. It's a good sign. So let's dive right into the text here and pick up where we left off. We had just read the there are schools of Buddhism that cherish Avalokiteshvara and schools that have no relationship with this Bodhisattva. Right, we kind of that sentence there. And Lee, do you want to read the next few sentences for it? Because Yunyan had a connection.
And Yunyan had a connection with Avalokiteshvara and pondered the Bodhisattva together with Dawu. Not only one or two, but hundreds and thousands of Avalokiteshvaras are with Yunyan. Yunyan and his Dharma descendants alone make Avalokiteshvara truly Avalokiteshvara. How is this so? The Avalokiteshvara expressed by Yunyan is thoroughly expressed, while the Avalokiteshvara expressed by others is not.
Okay, let's pause there. That's a good place to stop. This is really also typical Dogen. The limitless and abundant hands and eyes of Avalokiteshvara, the deep compassion these two Dharma brothers are experiencing together is intimacy. Yunyan is intimate with Avalokiteshvara. He is filled with Avalokiteshvara. Not one, not two, but hundreds and thousands of Avalokitevaras are with Yunyan. This is one of the first points, I think, when Dogen's writing, where he begins to hint at the nature of compassion, the limitless, boundless nature of compassion that he'll come back to again. In Dogen's view, what makes Yunyan stand out is really his expression of Avalokiteshvara, his expression of compassion. Compassion, or Avalokiteshvara, is made manifest by Yunyan through his question. He's not talking about Avalokiteshvara, he is expressing a profound compassion in this question. It is perhaps like when we have to ask a really difficult question of somebody. And yet, asking that very question itself is an expression of compassion. So what is lacking in the expression of compassion or the expression of Avalokiteshvara by others when others talk about Avalokiteshvara? What's Dogen saying here? Oh, by the way, if you have questions, don't hesitate to ask. I should have said that before, but I didn't. Okay, so Gavin, do you want to continue on just reading right till the end of that paragraph?
The Avalokiteshvara expressed by others merely has 12 faces. Yunyan's Avalokiteshvara is not like that. The Avalokiteshvara expressed by others merely has 1,000 hands and eyes. Yunyan's Avalokiteshvara is not like that. The Avalokiteshvara expressed by others merely has 84,000 hands and eyes. Yunyan's Avalokiteshvara is not like that. How do we know this?
Okay. Well, I think you can almost like get the sense of it, right? It's like, you know, it's like we keep upping the ante. Mine's got four hands. Well, mine's got 12. Mine's got 10,000. My dad's better than your dad. So I think at this point, Dogen shakes our common view of compassion as being something, however great or vast. Compassion is not something. In our everyday life, we see and we make acts of compassion. We vow as committed Buddhists to ease the suffering of all beings. Right? Those four vows that we often recite. Beings are limitless. I vow to free them, or I vow to save them. Hmm? Oh, numberless. What did I say? Limitless? Yeah, numberless. Beings are numberless. And these are wholesome, right? These are wholesome actions that we do, you know, our small acts of compassion. It's not that they're unwholesome. But Dogen begins to instruct us here that there is something more. And this more is not a matter of degree. And I think what I'd like to do is explain this with a very famous image from the Buddhist tradition. Indra's net. And Indra's net is a kind of a metaphor for the non-duality of reality. And it's described in a sutra called the Avatamsaka Sutra, or in Chinese, the Huayan Sutra. So let me read this description of this wonderful view of reality. I'm quoting directly from the Avatamsaka Sutra here. Far away in the heavenly abode of the great god Indra, there is a wonderful net which has been hung by some cunning artificer in such a manner that it stretches out infinitely in all directions. In accordance with the extravagant tastes of deities, at each node is hung a single glittering jewel in each of the nodes, or each of the eyes of the net where they cross. And since the net itself is infinite in dimension, the jewels are infinite in number. Here hang the jewels, glittering like stars, in the first magnitude, a wonderful sight to behold. If we now arbitrarily select one of these jewels for inspection and look closely at it, we will discover that in its polished surface there are reflected all the other jewels in the net, infinite in number. Not only that, but each of the jewels reflected in this one jewel is also reflected in all the other jewels, so that there is an infinite reflecting process occurring. This is the view of reality given in the Avatamsaka Sutra. Everything is intimately connected with everything else. Thich Nhat Hanh uses the word interbeing. Everything is in a state of interbeing with everything else. Usually the commentators on this sutra explain this image as a metaphor for shunyata, or for emptiness. And other words that are often given are interpenetration of all phenomena, etc. Avalokiteshvara, compassion, is not limited. Compassion is not even limited to the infinite, as we'll see according to Dogen. It even goes beyond the boundary of all boundaries. Compassion, Dogen is telling us here in his little one-upmanship statements, is the essential heart of all reality. It is the fundamental nature of all things.
So is Dogen in a way presenting this with an absolute? Is Dogen in a way saying that there is an absolute and it is compassion?
No. He, I think Dogen would, what he's pushing us to go even beyond an absolute. Because when we even use the word absolute, as we'll see in this next little section here, we have this idea of an absolute. And Dogen even pulls that away. Even pulls that away.
But he is saying it's the nature of everything.
That's right. But be careful. Don't say you understand it. as we'll see. Yeah, don't say you understand it.
Or in that chant we often do, the merging of or emerging of harmony of relative and absolute is one translation, or merging of difference and unity.
Yeah.
Right. The whole message is not to stick in either one. And yet they are simultaneously true. So I think it's similar here.
Yeah, it's similar.
Don't get too excited about the absolute either.
Yeah. But he is, you know, pointing, and I think very important for us as Zen practitioners. I mean, we emphasize generally in our tradition wisdom, right? This kind of, you know, shunyata, emptiness, you know. But he's pointing at something else here. He's pointing at compassion. And as we'll see, you know, we tend to like split the, oh, there's wisdom and there's compassion, and they're often talked about as two wings of a bird, et cetera, et cetera. But I think he's trying to like even pull us away from that. Like say, let go of that too. Let go of that too. Let's read the next section, and I think he goes into that a little bit more.
To so many hands and eyes of the Bodhisattva's great compassion expressed by Yunyan is not limited to 84,000 hands and eyes, not to speak of such numbers as 12 or 32 or 3. So many means a great many. It is as many as possible, not limited to any number. As it is not limited to any number, it is not limited to beyond boundary and measure, not limited to the infinite. Study the scale of so many in this way. It even goes beyond the boundary of beyond boundary and measure.
Good, let's stop there for a
minute. My head just exploded.
Good.
Isn't that a lot?
Gavin, clean up the mess, please. Yeah.
That last sentence of the Dogen sentence.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's a little bit what I wanted to try get at just a moment ago was he really wants us to go beyond even like the word absolute, or he says, don't get caught there either. Don't get caught. Even when you say infinite, don't get caught at infinite, because it goes beyond the infinite. And why should we not get caught? Because when we're caught, we're lost. We can't respond fully. We can't really be Avalokiteshvara when we're caught. We can't fully respond to the world as it calls to us at that moment.
This really reminds me of I was reading Meister Eckhart the other day, who really reminds me of Dogen the way, but from a Christian perspective, and he used the term. And I think he lived around the same time as Dogen, actually. He used the term, God is not great, otherwise he would do better. Mm-hmm. And that last sentence kind of speaks of the same thing.
Yes, right? It does, doesn't it? Thank you. Yeah, the mystics often, and Eckhart being one of the great mystics, just really keep shaking our ideas of what we think these things are. You know, reading this, isn't this good news? You know, according to Dogen, you know, the nature of this whole world is compassion. There, I said it. Suzuki Roshi, the Japanese Soto Zen teacher who brought this tradition to North America, he said to his students, wherever you are one with clouds and one with the sun and the stars, you see. Wherever you are one with the clouds and one with the stars. You are one with everything. That is more true than I can say, and more true than you can hear. I think there are times when we really feel this to be right. Right? That our life, this world, is really soaked in compassion and love. And maybe we don't feel it too often, but I hope in your life, occasionally, you have these moments of great compassion and joy, love. And there are times when to say such a thing is really just a cruel platitude. And we cry out, why is this life and this world so full of suffering? I teach at SFU religious studies, one of the courses, and all the major religions of the world offer answers to that very question. The Christian tradition has offered the answer of original sin, a kind of Christian karma, in the sense that we experience the effect of some earlier causal event. And that the effect of this earlier event is to distance us from knowing God. And so that's the source of our pain and suffering. In some people in the Jewish tradition frame our suffering as simply our natural desires out of control, resulting in a painful and destructive self-centeredness. And that distances us from God. In Islam, a common refrain is that we forget our relationship to the divine in our distraction and in our grasping for pleasures. That we forget. The Buddhist tradition speaks of delusion that arises because of our grasping and pushing away based on our desires. And because of this grasping and pushing away, I want this, I don't want that, we come to kind of miss-see reality, to be deluded about the true nature of the world and of ourselves. So in various ways, these traditions describe a gap between me, between I and the world. There's this kind of gap that seems to always be there between the subject and the object, this gap. And out of this gap arises the suffering of the world and our individual suffering. I think we all understand or feel in some measure a gap, no matter how we express it. And we seek in many ways to try reconnect. And indeed, one etymology of the word religion is re-ligare, meaning re-again and ligare to connect, to join something. Yet, you know, given our day-to-day experience, how can this be a world of compassion? With its war, the angry defensiveness, violence, the painful struggle, the sadness, the selfishness that we see. Why is there so much dukkha, so much discontent and suffering? Like a young child, I think we can get caught up in an unending strings of why. Right? You know, a little child is, you know, why? Why can't I go to bed at 9 o'clock? And why? We can get caught up in this unending strings of whys as if we'll finally arrive at some kind of primal cause. But why is often not a fruitful question to ask. And it's not asked very often in the Zen tradition. The Zen teachers of old preferred what? And our Zen practice, it really is a practice of what? What is this? We take an upright posture, allow the mind and heart to settle a little, and then perhaps bring a sense of curiosity to our lives. And we open to the what of this present moment. What is this moment now? What is this life now? And in this practice, our inner eyes open, like the eyes of a young child. Kind of curiosity, right? And the fog of our confusion and the fog of our self-absorption lifts some. And maybe we can see the whole catastrophe, to borrow a phrase, for what it is. Compassion. Maybe we'll see the essential compassion that we already possess and that already possesses us. Maybe we'll come to see that the very suffering we experience is also a source of connection and love. I want to talk a little bit more about this tomorrow, but let me read you a poem, a short poem, a haiku, about this. And this is a poem from a Japanese woman who lived in the 1700s, Chokuni, who was a nun. She's one of the well-known Japanese women haiku poets. And studied, I think, with a student of Basho's, if I remember correctly. Anyway, here's her poem, very short. Violets here and there in the ruins of my burned house. Violets here and there in the ruins of my burned house. Can we come to see that in the very midst of our suffering, there is also a source of connection and love? Let's go on, and then we'll come back to this again tomorrow. Chokuni. Did I not say? Oh no.
It doesn't sound right.
Yeah, I'll give
is
you.
Is this Chio?
No.
Somebody else.
Chokyu.
Chokyu.
C H O K Y U. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
K Y U. Yeah. So, next paragraph.
When Yunyan asks this question, Dao Wu did not disapprove of it. He saw deep meaning in the question. Yin Yan and Dao Wu studied shoulder to shoulder in Yashan's community and journeyed together for 40 years. Investigating ancient and new cases, they rejected incorrect views and confirmed each other's understanding. Having been together like this, Yin Yan presented his understanding on that day, and Dao Wu confirmed it. Know that the words, many hands and eyes, were equally expressed by these two ancient Buddhas. The words many hands and eyes were studied simultaneously by Yin Yan and Dao Wu.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So here Dogen is cautioning us, don't think that Dao Wu gave a better answer than Yin Yan. Right? He said, don't think that. That's a batsu. That's a boo. Batsu means wrong. Kind of like you got. Get the buzzer. Boo. Instead of the bell. Yin Yan and Dao Wu, according to Dogen here, are simply offering two sides of Avalokiteshvara. And they're not checking or testing each other's knowledge, as we kind of assume here in the reading. But they're doing it simply for the joy of expressing something that is beyond definition, beyond any fixed understanding. Our usual way is to study something, to know it and to understand it. But in Zen, we study to let go, to unknow our conceptions, to let go of our understandings. Because these things, our knowledge and our understandings, while helpful at times, also hinder and limit a deeper knowing. And in that way, they can lead us astray. Does that make sense? So he's saying, you know, whatever you understand, whatever you know, hold it lightly. Hold it lightly. Because really, how can we ever understand limitless compassion? Or the myriad ways compassion can be expressed in the world? How can we ever really know or understand that? A word of advice. Never tell an ancient Zen master you understand. Or you might get bopped.
But Yin Yan said, I got it.
We're coming to that.
Your special dispensation.
Okay, how about let's do one more paragraph here. So, what does the Bodhisattva?
What does the Bodhisattva of Great Compassion do? This is a question directed to Dao Wu. This question is not the same as that of the Bodhisattvas of 10 stages or 3 classes. This question brings forth an expression of understanding. It brings forth hands and eyes. As the question was presented, what does the Bodhisattva of Great Compassion do with so many hands and eyes? There are old Buddhas and new Buddhas who have become Buddhas through the power of working on this question. The question can be, how does the Bodhisattva use so many hands and eyes? How is it? How does the Bodhisattva manage so many hands and eyes? Or what do you say?
Good. So Dogen turns towards us. So clearly, as Dogen says here, the question of Yin Yan, his question is not an academic question. He's not asking about the Bodhisattva and that kind of classical way of development. And in the Mahayana Sutras, of course, a Bodhisattva is on her way or his way to becoming a Buddha, and proceeds through 10 bhumis, or 10 grounds, according to this classical understanding. Again, I did a little bit of research, and the Shirangama Sutra says there's actually 57 stages that you go through. So Yunyan's question is not like that. Rather, it is an expression of compassion itself. These two old Dharma buddies. What is compassion? Let me show you. Let me show you. The question of what does the Bodhisattva of great compassion do with so many hands and eyes is a koan, right? One of those kind of Zen stories, Zen questions that really has a no fixed answer. And one that Dogen tells us yet again to study carefully, because it will lead to awakening, lead to a deeper understanding. An expression. Many, many years ago, when I was a young man, I attended a talk given by a Zen teacher named Sasaki Roshi. And it was a public talk. And one man, after Roshi had said a few words, raised his hand and said something like, what does Zen tell us about love? What does Zen tell us about love? And Sasaki Roshi went like this. And the guy came up, and then Sasaki Roshi gave him a big hug. And just like hugged him and squeezed him. And it went on and on and on. And then let go. And I thought, wow. Pretty good answer. Pretty good answer. So I have a question for you. And my question is, how do you use your many hands and eyes? How do you actualize this koan in your daily life? What, I'm going to ask you to talk about this with each other, by the way. What kind of obstructs or prevents you from expressing compassion? And what nurtures the expression of compassion for you? Does that seem okay? So how do you use your many hands and eyes? What hinders that? And then what nurtures that for you? So I kind of like to do this with my students, and I hope you don't mind, but just jot down a few things, a few thoughts, and we'll just take, say, 2 minutes, and then we'll get together in small groups and just kind of share that with each other.